Well, good after lunch, brethren. I'm happy to see so many of you here still to the end. I pray for us all to have eternal life in the kingdom of God. Let's look into the start of that right now. But first, I'd like to read one scripture, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 2 to 4. That'll get us in the right mood anyway, I hope. Colossians 3, starting at verse 2, it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died," symbolically, you died when you were baptized, "and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ appears," and he will, "who is your life, when he appears, you also will appear with him in glory." Now that's our hope and our expectation, right? Pretty great, isn't it? Positive. Mr. Weber used a scripture a couple of weeks ago. I want to go there. He used a scripture a while back that I want us all to read it now in your very own Bible. That's Zechariah 4:10. Zechariah 4:10. And I'll use the New Living Translation here, but any of the ones that you happen to have with you work pretty good. Zechariah 4:10 in the New Living Translation reads like this: "Do not despise these small beginnings." Don't despise these small beginnings. "For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." You know, we always used to call God's church, we used to call it the work. And some of us still do. And then it goes on to say plumb lines, but I don't want to really get into that. I don't want to explain that because I have a limited amount of time and we don't need to go there for plumb lines or seven lamps. If you want to ask me afterwards, oh, we're not going to have message chat, but you know, if you wanted to ask me, we could always talk about that later. Don't worry about that right now. But do focus on this. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Oh, when did God's work begin? Perhaps you might say that it was after Jesus appeared on the scene. Maybe. But God's work began a lot further back than that. The context of this particular verse in Zechariah was that Zechariah was telling the people who were gathered there that day that when we dedicate this temple to the God, well, let me go on. That was the second temple. That was the second temple. That wasn't the big ornate temple of Solomon. This was the second temple, which, well, let me read it. "And eventually that second temple was the one that Jesus Christ himself would return to back then when he was a man. There's another temple that he's going to return to in the future. So what does that have to do with you and me and trumpets 2021? When Mr. Weber quoted that verse, he recalled some things in the Pasadena church past. Do you remember that? I remember. Do you remember? He was recalling some things in the Pasadena church past. And I'll recall some things now in the San Diego church past. Just a few, not too many. I get out of here by 3:30. He remembered serving in the auditorium, and Suzanne and I remember going to services in the auditorium. We did. At the time of our first visit there in Pasadena, there were about 3,000 baptized members in God's church at that time in Pasadena. Those 3,000 had to go to services at 2, you know, morning and afternoon, to make sure, because there was only enough room in the auditorium for about 1,500. That auditorium was, though, pretty nice. Pretty nice, if not overly ornate. I remember Mr. Armstrong saying, oh, I don't want it to be overly ornate, you know, I just want it to be nice. It wasn't the Taj Mahal. You know, if you've ever seen pictures of that, I'd like to visit sometime. But please understand, God's church, which was once called the Radio Church of God, and then the Worldwide Church of God, and actually many other things over the years, has never been very big. It's never been huge. It's never been monstrous. If you've ever read the booklet, though, called True History of the True Church, if you have ever read that, you know that over the last 2,000 years since Jesus was alive on earth, the Church of God has ups, a lot of downs, and then ups, and then downs, and, you know, it's gone like that over the 2,000 years. Do not ever despise the day of the small things. Don't ever despise the day of the small things. We may not look like much in here, in this building, in this room, right now, on Tuesday, September 7th, but our destiny is to rule with Jesus, the Savior and King, and not just for 1,000 years, but forever. Now, a little bit more history. When Suzanne and I started attending here in San Diego in late fall 1971, there were about 350 baptized members here in San Diego, and there were another 450 in Escondido. At that first Trumpets that we attended in 1972, there were about 800 people there. Look around you. We don't even have a tithe of that today. We barely have a half of a tithe of that in this room today. Can you begin to understand why I started this message with Zechariah 4:10? Do not ever despise the day of the small things. When that second temple was dedicated a few thousand years ago, there were some people who, as Mr. Beatty said in his message, they cried. They cried. And I was really glad that he told both sides of the story, because there were some there that cried happy thoughts. But most of them cried because the temple that they saw dedicated was not nearly as ornate or gracious or grand as Solomon's temple. Now, listen to the words I'm using. Solomon's temple. It wasn't Solomon's temple. It was never Solomon's temple. It was God's temple dedicated by Solomon. That's what they should have said. They should have said God's temple dedicated by Solomon. Give him credit, but let's make sure we know. It was God's temple, not Solomon's. And even today, most people don't call it God's temple. They call it Solomon's temple. Oh, Solomon's temple was so great, so grand. The second temple, yeah, that was, okay. But that second temple, that was the one that Jesus Christ came to and interacted with humans like you and me in. Let's cut to today. Right now. Right here. You and I are celebrating. We are celebrating in advance the return to earth of Jesus, Lord, Savior, and King of the universe. And that should make you and I happy and excited and feeling good. Yes, Mrs. Walker, you can stand up and go like that. You know, that it's okay. Because it's a good thing. That's what we should do. We should all raise holy hands Ruth, you're right, about that coming time. But now look around and see. Look around and see what we have. Brethren, we are the small things. We are the small things. We are not and have never been very big and great. But do not despise the day of the small things, because trumpets every year, it's our day. In your Bibles, look on down if you opened them to Zechariah 4. Look a little bit further to Zechariah 4, verse 6. Zechariah 4, verse 6, just a little bit further than what I read before. He said, "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord, or the Eternal, or of God, to Zerubbabel.'" Zerubbabel was a, you know, high muckety-muck. "But what God wanted to say to Zerubbabel was, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Eternal of hosts.'" And what was God telling Zechariah? God was telling Zechariah simply that the real temple, and that wasn't the simple second temple per se, but the real temple was not going to be built by might or power. When we build stuff, where are you, Paul Smith? He used to be a builder. Guy's a builder. I wanted to talk to him. He's not here to talk to. But builders build out of concrete and masonry, steel. That's what Paul did. He's built things all his life. When we build stuff, we use a lot of power equipment. Power equipment. But what kind of a building was God talking about? Look, if you want to, or listen if you just want me to read, but go to Ephesians if you want to. Go to Ephesians 2, and let's read a couple of verses there. Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22. Ephesians 2, 21. I'll read it in the NIV here, just so I'm not playing favorites. I'll read the NIV here, Ephesians 2, verse 21. "In him," and the him that's talking about is Jesus, "in him the whole building is joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord." Verse 22, "And in him," in Jesus, "you too," you also, "are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So the Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesians that they are the temple. Not the first, not the second, but the real temple. The Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesians, "You're the temple. You are the temple. Not constructed with brick or mortar, but with the Spirit of God. And that spiritual temple is built on and out of Jesus the Christ. We're a part of it, though. He's got to be the foundation. And then we will be built up into the walls and the ceiling and the accoutrements, whatever those are. Zechariah, let's go a little bit further. Zechariah 9, verse 16. I really like this one. Zechariah 9, 16, but you're right there. "The Eternal," their God, our God, "will say to them in that day," the day that is being referred to here is the day of the Lord, in case we missed that. "But the Lord their God will say to them in that day, 'As the flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown.'" Whoa. "Lifted like a banner over his head." God, I like that. God likes to use a lot of glittering generalities, a lot of glittering metaphor. I really like this. But the point I want to make is, so we're the real temple of God, and we shall shine and sparkle like jewels, like diamonds, and emeralds, rubies, You like any of those things? You know? Some of those things are pretty neat. We're beautiful now to God. But if you look around, we're not much to look at right now. The fact that we are here, though, this afternoon, as a very small group, doesn't matter to God at all. Because our God is a huge, big God. The fact that we're just a few people in this room, that's not overly significant to God, who, remember, when we get to the eighth day of the feast, wants all people to be saved, but each in their own time, according to the plan that he's got written. And you can read about it. Remember that the real temple will not be built by might or power, but rather by the Holy Spirit of God. Do you have that Holy Spirit? If you do, you are even now a part of God's temple, an amazing jewel in the crown. We just do not look like much right now. But despise not the day of the, what is it? Small things. But I want to go to my favorite scripture in the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 30. This is my favorite one. This is the first one I ever learned when I was in Spokesman's Club 50 years ago. Okay, despise not the day of the 1 Corinthians 1:26 things. I will read 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 30 in the NIV, and we're almost done. Good. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Brothers and sisters, and you are. We are, aren't we? We're brothers and sisters. Think of what you were when you were called. Nothing. We were nothing when we were called. Not many. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Well, some of us were, you know, people like Roland, rocket scientist. Pretty sharp by human standards. Or Victor, you know, or Doug, you know. And there were people in here that were pretty sharp. Smiling, my friend in the back there, and smiling, you know. He's like me. One of the most enthusiastic guys I know in the whole church. But, anyway. Okay, let me go on. Not many of you were this, that, and the other thing. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you, I love this one, were of noble birth. Noble birth. Any kings or queens in here, you know, in the old days? In the future, we'll all be kings and queens, but I love this. I love this. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose, and here's Skipper, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Verse 28, God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things of the world and the things that are not valued to nullify the things in the world that are valued. I love this. So why? So that no one could boast before him. It is because of him, or God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who is also God, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, and then Paul goes on to say, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. I like that. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our holiness. Jesus is our redemption. We're nothing, nothing, but in him, we are highly valued. That's incredible. Blows me away. So, do not ever despise the fact that you are a small thing, my brothers and sisters. To our great God, you are the jewels in the crown.